reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That was Acts chapter 2, verse 22. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, August 20th, 2025. We're continuing right where we left off yesterday in this series titled, What It Means to Follow Jesus. Yesterday, today, and next Tuesday, we're specifically looking at, we are members of God's family. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
Why do we believe in small groups? Well, I'm going to give you four reasons. There are three dots there. You can actually write another one down. Now, this is not one of the reasons I'm going to give you, but the first thing is it's actually biblical. The reason we do it is because Jesus told us to do it. And it's a biblical model. When Jesus started his ministry, public ministry, he was 30 years old. The first thing Jesus did was he was baptized as an adult. If you haven't been baptized as your personal confession of faith because of your decision, you need to be baptized. Now, Jesus was dedicated as a baby. Did that invalidate his dedication? No, but at 30 years of age, he went down the Jordan River and John the Baptist baptized him. There's a difference between a baptism of confirmation, which was your parents' commitment. Yeah, I mean, you had nothing to do with it. I don't even remember. But there's the baptism of confession, which is your decision as an adult. And we baptize people as adults in this church. Why? Because Jesus set the model. And if he did it, we're going to do it his way. Evidently, his dedication as a baby was not enough. He was taken to the temple at day 7 and dedicated by his parents. But when he got 30 years of age, he said, now this is my decision. It's now my faith. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized the way Jesus was. Then the second thing Jesus did is he started a small group. He went out and he gathered 12 guys and he said, you're going to be my small group. And for the next 3 years, he traveled with his small group. Even Jesus needed a small group and he was perfect. You need one even more than he does to make it in life. Now, there are four advantages of a small group. Would you write these down? Number one, small groups are relational. Small groups are relational. Now, why is that important? Because life is all about learning how to love. And you can't love unless you build relationships. You have to learn to love. And small groups are the laboratory for learning relational skills. They're the laboratory for learning how to love. You can't have a conversation with a crowd. I mean, we can't have a conversation right now. You're just listening. This is called sit still while I instill. It's one-way conversation. And you can't say, hey, Rick, what about, and did this mean, and what about that? But in a small group, you can ask questions. In a small group, you can pray specifically for each other. In a small group, you can get support. You can share. And you can build relationships in a way that you can't do it in other ways. See, one of the problems of our culture today is that we live among strangers. And people aren't learning relational skills anymore. They're not very good at relationships today. Why? Because we don't have porches. People don't sit outside and talk to their neighbors. You know one of the worst things that created a nation of strangers? Electric garage doors. Because you can click the electric garage door, get in your car, drive out, go to work. When you come home, click the electric garage door, go on in and close it. You don't ever have to meet your neighbors. And my guess is you probably live on a street that you don't know people who've lived there for years. And one of the reasons why we're not very good at relational skills is we don't have a laboratory to learn them. And the evidence of that is the divorce rate in America. People get married, and because they don't have relational skills, they don't know how to solve their problems, they don't know how to solve the conflict, and the relationship dissolves. If Jesus said the most important thing in life is learning how to love, and he did, it's called the Great Commandment, love God with all your heart, love your neighbors yourself, then the most important thing for you to do is to learn relational skills. Loving God, loving other people. You can't do that with a crowd. Now, you don't have to know everybody in a church for it to be your church. But you do have to know somebody. You don't know everybody on your row right now. That's okay. But you do have to know somebody. Two, three, four people who, when you get sick, they know you're sick. When you get laid off, they know you're laid off. When you're in the hospital, they know you're in the hospital. When you need a babysitter, they know you need a babysitter. And somebody knows your needs, and they help you. They show up when you need them. You don't need 100 friends in life, but you do need 3 or 4 really good ones. And small groups are a great way to help people learn groups. See, a lot of churches, all they have is public worship. They don't have the house to house. And as a result, there's no way for people to really get to know each other, because you don't get to know each other at worship. All you get to know is the back of the head of the person in front of you. You might like it or you might not. But the truth is, that's not a very deep relationship. So small groups are relational, and that's why we do it. The Bible says life's all about love. Number two, small groups are flexible. And the value of that is they're not like a worship service that it's the same time every week. You can change the time. You can change the location. Small groups can meet anytime. They can meet anywhere. They can be readjusted. You know, the small group that I'm in right now, I've been in, 5 or 6 years, the one I'm currently in right now. And a lot of times we all can't meet on the same day. It was like, well, we can't meet our normal Tuesday. Okay, we get on the email or we get through phone or text message. Could you meet on Thursday? Sometimes like takes 10 or 12 messages till everybody goes, yeah, we could all do on that one. And we change where we're going to meet. We don't meet at the same house every week. We rotate. Sometimes it's our house. Sometimes it's somebody else's house. We've met at restaurants. We've met at Disneyland. We've met outside. We even had an all-nighter one time, and it was like an overnighter. And the result is you build relationships. Small groups are flexible so they can meet anytime or anywhere. You don't have to meet in church to have a small group. The Bible says this. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "For where 2 or 3 come together in my name," that's called a small group, folks, "where 2 or 3 come together in my name, there am I with them." There is a presence of God in the small group that doesn't show up in other ways. And so you just get 2 or 3 people together, and there Jesus says, "I will be with you in that moment." They're flexible. Number three, small groups are expandable. And we've done a pretty good job of doing that. When we started Saddleback, we had 1 small group. Then we had 2. Then we had 4. Then we had 8. Then we had 12. And now we have over 4,000. Why? Because we can expand them. We can start them anywhere. We can start them everywhere. As I said, we now have them in every city in Southern California. And in this next decade, which we're calling our Decade of Destiny, by the end of the decade, we're going to have Saddleback small groups in every major city in North America. And we're going to have small groups in every major city in many places around the world. Small groups in Hong Kong, small groups in Beijing, small groups in Lagos, Nigeria. Why? Because you can do them anywhere. They are expandable, and we can do that, and we're going to keep on expanding. Why do we do that? Why do we make the effort? Because Jesus wants everybody to know the good news. If somebody died for you, wouldn't you want to know about it? And there are billions of people who still don't know that Jesus died for them. And as long as one person doesn't know Christ, we're going to keep reaching out. We don't grow Saddleback Church for our benefit. The bigger it gets, actually, the more problems, more headaches for staff and things like that. We grow because the church that doesn't want to reach other people is saying to the world, you can go to hell. The church that doesn't care about growing is saying, we're selfish. We're all going to heaven and forget you guys. We don't really care about you. But Jesus said, we must care. So we keep reaching out. And how do we do it? Through small groups. They're relational, they're flexible, they're expandable. Number four, they're economical. They're economical. What do I mean by that? I mean, we don't have to pay for them. There's no overhead for the church. Now, this next week, 30,000 people will meet for Bible study in 4,000 small groups. How much do we pay for those buildings? Zero. How much do we pay to clean them? Zero. How much do we pay for the utilities? Zero. Why? Because it's your house. Kidneys, man, kidneys. I mean, that's, you know, do you see, it doesn't cost the church. Some churches, for 100 years, churches used to try to bring everybody to the church, not just for worship, but for Bible study. And they would build these big Sunday school buildings, not just for kids, but for adults. And it cost millions and millions of dollars to have all these Bible study classrooms. And then, during the week, they sat empty. That's poor stewardship. It's a waste of money to build a building that's only used once a week. And so we said, we're not going to do that. We're just going to use the existing homes. Why? Because that's the way they did it in the New Testament. By the way, I'll just throw this in. You need to understand, those of you who are members of Saddleback, our philosophy of buildings. at Saddleback Church. Because there are many churches that are much smaller in Saddleback that have spent a lot more money on buildings than we have, and even more seats than we have. We'd rather have multiple services and fewer seats than a 10,000-seat stadium. Why do we do that? Well, there's several reasons. One, we believe at Saddleback Church is not a building. It is not a building. Church is people. It's a family. It's a flock. It's the body of Christ. It is not a building. And we proved that by being the first church that grew to over 10,000 people in attendance without a building. We waited in this church 15 years before we built this building. This was the first building we built. And Saddleback already had over 10,000 people in its family. No church in history had ever grown to 10,000 people in America without a building. We just wanted to prove church isn't a building. It's people. And we are far more interested in building people than we are in building buildings. We believe that buildings are tools, not monuments. They're just tools for ministry. You don't build them as monuments. There's another church here in the Southern California area that built a monument for everybody to come see. And then we built this building. This building actually seats more than that building and cost half the price. Why? Because we're not into monuments. We're into tools. And we believe that every building must be multipurpose. That's why the seats can be moved. And that's why as soon as the worship service is over, we'll tear it down. We'll use this building 25 different ways this week, over the next weekend, and until next weekend, because we believe they should be used all the time. That's just good stewardship. Now, we believe in the temple courts, but we really believe in the house to house, because the cells are the foundation of the body. Your body is not made up of one giant cell. Your body is made up of thousands, even millions, of little cells. And in the body of Christ, our body, the body of Christ called Saddleback, is made up of 4,000 little cells that meet during the week in homes, that meet on that basis where we help and we serve and we care for each other. Now, what I want to do in the last couple minutes this morning is I want us to look at what makes a healthy small group, because about 95% of you are in a small group, and there are seven marks of a healthy group, and they're covered here in this passage in Acts chapter 2. But before we do, I want you to listen to a song, and let me set this up. I recently bought an autobiography by Sir Edmund Hillary to read. Everybody know who he is? Sir Edmund Hillary was the first guy to scale Mount Everest. And it's a fascinating book. And actually, I bought it on eBay, and it was autographed by him. So it was kind of cool. If you want it, nah. So, in this book, it's called High Adventure, and it's a terrific story of how he climbed Mount Everest. And Sir Edmund Hillary says, it would be foolish to attempt to climb Mount Everest by yourself. You can't do it without a small group. He said, you just can't do it by yourself. No, it would be suicidal to try to attempt to hit the peak by yourself. You need a small group to support you. Now, when I saw that, I thought, man, that's true in every area of life. Now, I don't know what you need to climb out of this year. Last year was a very tough year. Some of you, you're trying to climb out of grief because you lost a loved one. Some of you are trying to climb out of debt because you really got in debt and you need to get out of the hole. Some of you are trying to climb out of guilt. And there's some things you remember, man, I blew it, I feel bad about it, and you're carrying that. Don't carry that guilt into a new decade. Some of you need to climb out of loss. Maybe you lost your job because of the recession. I'm sorry. And you're trying to climb out of loss. Maybe you need to climb out of your fears that have kept you in slavery for years and years. Maybe you need to climb out of some bad memories and some resentments. Don't bring the hurt of the last decade into the new decade. That's stupid. That's dumb. Let it go. Close the door. You got to close the door on it, and you got to climb out of your grief and your guilt and your grudges. You got to climb out of your insecurities and your worries and your fears. Some of you need to climb out of loneliness this year. Or let's state in a more positive way. You want to climb the hill. You want to hit the peak. You want to reach your potential. You will never climb Everest by yourself. You will never reach your peak by yourself. You will never accomplish your dream by yourself. You will never fulfill the heights for which God created you by yourself. The reason Saddleback grew is because I put a team together. And guys like Tom Holliday and Rick Muchow and Glenn Cruen and Doug Fields and a dozen other guys who've been with me over the years, and we had a team. It takes a team to fulfill a dream. And you're not going to achieve the heights that you were meant to achieve by yourself. You need a small group. Now, our model for our small groups are the small groups of the book of Acts. Let me read this to you. In Acts chapter 2, it tells us the story of the first day of the church and what happened afterwards. Verse 41, it says, those who accepted Peter's message, this is on the day of Pentecost, accepted his message, were baptized. And about 3,000 were added that day to the church. Imagine baptizing 3,000 people in one day. That's pretty good. Then it says, then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers shared everything together and had everything in common. They'd even sell their possessions and good and give to anyone when he had a need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And they also broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And as a result, it says, the Lord added to their number daily. The church grew every day, the people who were being saved. Now, if you're not in a group right now, these seven things I'm going to give you just real quickly as we close are what you're missing in a small group. If you're in a group, I want you to use these seven signs of a healthy group to evaluate your own group. Okay, here's what they did. Number one, they studied the Bible. That's the first sign of a healthy group. They studied the Bible together. In verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, what is the apostles' teaching? It's this. It's the Bible. The New Testament was written by the apostles. Paul, John, Peter, Mark, James, these were apostles that wrote the New Testament. And obviously they didn't have the Bible at that time. It wasn't bound into a book, but they were studying what we study today. Now, evidently, what the apostles were teaching on the weekends at the temple courts, they were reviewing during the week in the house to house. Now, we thought that was a good idea here at Saddleback. So we came up with a tool called Talk It Over. Many of you don't know this, that there's a discussion guide prepared with every message that's taught here on the weekend. And you can download it for your small group. And so here at Saddleback, we have two different ways you can study the Bible in small groups. One is the video studies. And we provide these DVDs and videos of Bible studies that we've taught. And this next year, we've got a whole bunch of them we're going to be giving to you. We're going to do a study of faith in our small groups. We're going to study family in our small groups. We're going to study the most common questions that people have in our small groups and a number of other video studies. But when you're not doing those, I would recommend you get Talk It Over. You can just download it off of our website, and it's discussion questions to discuss the teaching of the previous week. That's what they did here. They dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. Second thing they did, it says they fellowshipped and they ate together. In their small groups, in the house to house, they fellowshipped and ate together. In verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Now, I've already talked about this, why it's important for us to build relationships. But there's only one way you're going to build fellowship, and that is through frequency. If your group only meets every other week, if you miss it one time, it means you haven't seen them for a month. You can't have fellowship like that. You have to meet every week. If you only meet every other week, if you miss a week, that's a month you go without that small group fellowship. So we need to have frequency in our fellowship. And then notice it says in verse 46, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Aren't you glad that's a part of small groups? All right. Food is a tool of fellowship. Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. Yes, I love to eat with friends, and so much can be talked over a meal, a snack, and it provides that hospitality, extending warmth and care. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. This is a part of a series, What It Means to Follow Jesus. Yesterday and today, we looked at We Are Members of God's Family, and this topic will conclude next Tuesday. But today, we learned about the advantages of a small group. They're relational, they're flexible, they're expandable, and they're economical. We learned the importance of why to meet as a small group, and that there's 7 healthy marks of a small group. Today we learned they must be studying the Bible together and enjoying good fellowship. And that's where we'll pick up again next Tuesday. We'll learn more about the importance of the fellowship together. It's a time where communion can be shared, that prayer is fostered, and you can pray for each other. You can minister to each other, praise God together, and invite others to join your small group so that fellowship can be enhanced. Questions can be answered, sharing time is expanded, and as mentioned, you learn to love, you learn to interact, you learn to be relational. And Jesus taught us the primary 2 things are to learn to love God and to love others, and that happens in a small group. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or yesterday, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. By way of an FYI, there's still time if you're listening to the morning edition of Mark and Friends to make it to Springfield to our WLUJ studios, as at noon we'll record a few programs and you can be a part of the discussion. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we'll have some great fellowship small group time together. That's at noon today at the WLUJ Studios, 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.